And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, July the 10th, 2021. It is Season 15, Episode 22. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
Oh, I'm Wendy.
Hi, I'm Wendy.
She remembered.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can. It's the easiest thing to do because we've got Discord. It means you don't have to dial in. You don't have to leave your house. You don't have to pick up the phone. You can just do it right there from your computer if you have Discord. The link to our Discord channel is on our website. Go to ingamechat.net, ingamechat.net. And you'll be able to find a link to our Discord where you can join in. Jump at the channel where we're live broadcasting and you can talk to us on the air. If you want to do that, that's up to you. You can also call us 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228. Go to ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. Like I mentioned, the Discord. You got to go all the way to the bottom of the page. So go there and then just scroll all the way down till you can't do it anymore, and then you'll see the links there. You can find us on Twitter at In-Game Chat. You can find us on Facebook as well. All those links at our website. You can email us. That is at our website. Everyone at InGameChat.net. We are streaming right now on Twitch. Go to Twitch.tv. Type in In-Game Chat in the search bar. You'll see us. Or just go to our site. Click on the link at the bottom. Everything's there. You can join in the chat room live while we broadcast with everybody else in there. Let me do this real quick so I can edit my video. There we go. I didn't do that 1 week. I had to
last week.
See, was it last week? And to yeah. Sync, well, week before last then, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, we've been gone for a while. So let's find out what we all play. Actually, you know what?
What's that?
I was thinking of moving what we played at the end of the show rather than start it out at the beginning. But since I already did it, let's just go ahead. Okay. What have you played?
Bunch of Virtual Fighter V, Ultimate Showdown. But playing a lot of that. It's the matches aren't coming as frequently as they used to do at the beginning. I guess the new is starting to wear off. So
is it? Yeah, you mean multiplayer matches?
Yeah. So basically, what's going to happen is I'm probably going to have to set up some rooms and everything and invite people along and things of that nature and start playing like that. A little bit more of MLB The Show. Still playing a little baseball here and there every now and then. And for the most part, Grand Theft Auto Online. Trying to build up a character that I've built up on there. So I've been doing little missions and things like that. Playlists. It gets me about 50, 60 grand a pop. So, you know, five missions back to back and doesn't take much time to do.
Yeah.
Get like 60 grand a pop. So just lather, rinse, repeat. Build up my stats along the way. They got some XP building stuff, you know, free mode things. Competition, things of that nature, PvP stuff going on, but basically I just get a constant flow of sales and CEO jobs and my playlist, and I just keep going that way instead of having to deal with the normal rambunctious folks online that do what they do. So as they see you, they shoot you on sight, so yeah. Just back off and do your own thing.
Ain't fun to deal with them.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons I just haven't played that, you know, that online component of that. I say that's one of the reasons. I mean, I tried to do it when it first started, I tried to do it, and it was so buggy and janky, and everything was kind of wrong with it that I just said, well, I'll wait till they get it fixed. Anyway, by the time they had gotten it fixed, I'd obviously moved on to something else and just never went back to it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I like what they did with it because there were some updates that came out that I was just like, man, I wish I was still playing that because mm-hmm. that looks fun. The races and stuff that they were doing.
Yeah, I mean it's fine when you got it's best when you play with people that you know, right? Get your own invite on the session, invite your friends there. You want to get a specific task or goal you want to do. You want to do a heist or mm-hmm. or a certain story element. Like when the casino opened up, one of the things that always bugged me was that the missions that were there always required at least two people. And I was so used to doing solo missions by myself. So when it was like two people, I was like, dang, I got to find someone to play with, because if I try this with a random person, it's going to go to heck in a handbasket in no time flat. So I need to like start seeing if I can increase the number of people to play with. But out of that, I've only been able to do maybe two of the missions out of the, I think, five total for that story part. I haven't been able to complete it yet. Now, some people have suggested going to Discord, channels on Discord for the game and things of that nature, probably find a dedicated group to play with, but I just haven't got around to it yet. I just, first and foremost, I want to play with people who I know personally and see what we can do from there.
But that's all.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah. I mean, you know, what's it going to be for me? More Destiny. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't change.
Imagine.
It doesn't change. Yeah. So is Destiny and Destiny and Destiny. that's, you know, the hard version of the raid released this week. For some reason, and I haven't talked to the guys about this to figure out why. I haven't even researched into why that is. But the Nightfalls, which are these three-man activities that aren't really mechanic-heavy, it's just a lot of the enemies are tougher,
yep,
and you're weaker, and there's more of them, and there's stronger ones. So, I mean, I understand the Grandmaster type of thing. It is the end-all, be-all of your in-game activity.
How does that keep your distance?
Yeah, well, no, it's not. It's nothing like that. It's that I've run three of them so far this season, with not really having a lot of difficulty when I run it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it does take about 45 minutes to complete one of these things. I mean, you have to take it slow.
You got a time limit?
You do have a time limit, yes. There is a certain amount of time where you can no longer revive people in your fire team who have died.
Oh.
Yeah. First off, you get limited revives.
Okay.
You start off, I think, with four revives. And as you kill some of the tougher enemies, you will gain a revive every time you kill one of those. So, I mean, you can build it up. Yeah, you can bank them and build them up, and that's fantastic. But after 45 minutes, you no longer build them up, and you can no longer revive anybody that dies.
Okay. So
they stay when they're dead, they stay dead. That's it. After the 45-minute mark.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had some go all the way past that 45-minute mark, and one guy has finished it off because we've all died or whatever the case. Mm-hmm. I've had it where we never even touched the 45-minute mark, and we got through it. But so far, this season, I've done three. This weekend, I'll have done, you know, my fourth, because I can get through those. But the raid hard mode is apparently even tougher than that. Even though, and this is what I don't understand, even though the level that they put at Grandmasters, the enemies in Grandmaster Nightfalls are it's 1365, I think, is what we're at now. Mm-hmm. So their power level is 1365. You can't get up that. I mean, you can get that high, I guess, but that would take a whole lot of grinding to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
They don't allow you to start running those things until you're 1335. I'm almost 1340 at the moment. And like I said, I've been through three of those already with a three-man team.
Mm-hmm.
Raids give you six people. There's a lot more mechanics to it, but raids give you six people to work through the thing. And apparently it is, the enemies are set at 1350, but apparently it's still really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Even for people who are doing these Nightfalls, the three-man activity, this six-man thing on hard difficulty is really giving people some issues. So I don't know. We're scheduled to run it tonight, and I might run it tonight. I don't know if I am or not, because I think I'll be a detriment to the team. I don't think I'll help.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be better for anybody who is closer to, or at least the higher people should run this thing. You know what I'm saying? The higher level people?
Maxed out levels.
Yeah. Right. Like if I'm right now I'm 1338. So if there's, you know, if I'm kicking somebody out that is 1341, I'm like, you should probably jump in here with these guys. Mm-hmm. who are all, you know, maybe in their 13, 14. I don't know. We don't know that yet. We're all going to assemble tonight, and I'll make my choice then. Because I really don't want to start something that I can't finish. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to start something only to get all the way to the end where I'm just hitting a wall and can't beat it.
Yeah.
And then have somebody else jump in only to finish it, and they don't get to go through the entire thing from a fresh start. So I'm sort of weighing my options here on what to do. And, I mean, I'll talk to the guys when we get in our little group there later tonight. And, like, you know, you want to run this with me? You don't want to run it with me? I'm perfectly fine, you know?
So is Destiny really that unforgiving in terms of levels? I mean,
I haven't run this hard mode raid yet.
Well, the thing I'm trying to ask is that basically, I mean, a two-digit difference really makes that big of a difference?
That's
in Destiny?
That's I know. Yeah, it can. It can.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, 1340, but 1338. Well, generally, you think that might be close enough. In a lot of other games, that'd be close enough. You can probably sneak through it like that.
Yeah, I watched a regular streamer kind of go through it, and he was talking about it. He said that he was running it, and he was like 12, 11 or 12 levels under,
mm-hmm.
which would put him around where I'm at right now.
Right.
Because the thing they want you to be is, the recommended level is 1350, but of course you can start running it once you're, I think, 1335 or so. But that's the weird part. The recommended level for a three-man event is 1365.
Mm-hmm.
And at 1335, 36, 37, I was running through it no problem with two other guys.
Mm-hmm.
This is a six-man thing, and I'm only, you know, and the recommended is 1350, and I'm still at 1338, and it's like, eh. But I haven't run it yet, so I don't know exactly how challenging that's going to be for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely don't want to be an anchor on the team that could probably do this a lot better. So, you know, I may duck out on this one and or find a group that's just running a normal thing and just run through that one if I really need to. I don't actually need to.
Yeah, get a taste of it first before you get to the bit of...
Yeah, I mean, I'm perfectly fine with skipping the raid tonight if we don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to get a master run in,
mm-hmm.
which is what they're calling it, the harder difficulty. I do want to get one of those runs in at least once, but, you know, I'll get there. Maybe. Yeah. We'll see. I'm getting close. Right now it's Solstice of Heroes event thing, which is a grindy fest. It's a grindy, grindy, grindy fest.
They're all grind fests.
They are. I know. This one's, I say it's worse. It's probably worse because I make it worse.
Mm-hmm. it's like when Iron Banner comes up. I mean, I still remember the stuff that was available from Lord Saladin. The last time I played, it's like the same stuff over and over.
I know, yeah. They really haven't. The Iron Banner thing, if you go on the forums and stuff and Reddit and things like that, they have a problem with Bungie because they don't update the loot from the Iron Banner.
Yeah.
They don't update it. And a lot of the stuff that they, a lot of the armor loots, some of the guns are, but a lot of the armor loots seem to be just reskins of old stuff
I think that Viking helmet is still sitting there from the last time I played.
Oh, I'm sure it is, yeah.
So I'm like, meh, I don't need that.
It's just higher level now, sort of
thing.
Yeah,
it's like, I'm playing as a Titan last time I was there. It was like a combination between samurai armor and Viking armor, basically.
Yeah.
All the same thing. No point in going through that.
So I played that, and I played a little bit of Cozy Grove, which is a lot of fun. I mean, it's real. That's a really nice, if you stick with it, and I should stick with it, but I never do. It's a good game.
That's not Animal Crossing Lite, wasn't it?
It's kind of Animal Crossing-ish. Yeah. Yes, you know, ish. But yeah, it was. It's a different. It's as not of a pressuring thing as Animal Crossing is. I don't necessarily know that Animal Crossing is pressure. You know what I'm saying? I don't think Animal Crossing is pressure, but I did feel like in Animal Crossing I needed to log in, you know, every day to maximize what I was doing. You know what I'm saying? To really continue the streak of doing that. Cozy Grove doesn't offer streaks. It was like, you've logged in this many times today, or you've done this, or hey, you missed this date. It doesn't. You stop playing it, time stops.
Mm-hmm.
You pick it up, time begins again. You know, Animal Crossing is time moves on with or without you.
Yeah. So Cozy Grove is just like, hey, play when you want to.
It really is. And I'm not saying one's better than the other. They both have their strengths, their weaknesses, that sort of thing. But so I played some of that. And then I think, I played Two Point Hospital, right? Remember where we were building the hospital?
thought that was last week.
Well, it was, but we didn't have a show last week.
Okay, then yes,
yeah,
we did.
I think it was last week. Yeah, I tried out Two Point Hospital on Game Pass. Mm-hmm. It's a build-your-own hospital simulator in a very cartoonish way, because I don't want to really take anything seriously about that. But that was a lot of fun. I see what they've done in trying to convert the PC controls to controller controls, which is a weird thing to say. But I see where they've kind of done that. And it worked okay on the console, but the more I played it, the more I was like, I'd rather really play this on PC. This would be a lot easier to organize and to, you know, get to what you need to get to quicker than it is on a controller. They've tried to do it, and I think if I knew the controls better by playing it through PC, that I would, that it would come more naturally using a controller, but I was learning the game and the controller functions at the same time with this thing, and which is what you do, but not when it's a controller. Mouse and keyboard is completely different. It's just click here, click this, click this. On a controller, it's like press this button. Now, you know, slide with the RBs or move it back and forth with the LRs, whatever it is. You know, triggers, bumpers, buttons, all this different stuff. And I think it translates well if you knew the controls ahead of time. If you knew the controls from PC and you jump over, it's fine. That's the only real complaint that I could really give it, because it's only, I didn't put in a lot of time with it. But I thought it was interesting. When a patient dies, they can sometimes leave a ghost, which is fun, because you'll have a ghost pop up in your hospital from
angry
time
ghost.
To time. No, it's just a ghost, but your patients don't like it, you know? If there's word, that your hospital is haunted, then they won't go there, because that means people are dying at your hospital.
Yeah,
and so they won't go there, and so you've got a your rating is not going to work.
Oh, you got ghosts here. That means you can't do your job properly. I think
well,
I'll go
I mean,
down
it's
the street.
It's absolutely the reverse of real life. Because if I hear about a haunted hospital, I'm going to go to it. I'm not going to ask to go there when I get sick, but I'm going to go to the haunted hospital. Come on.
Okay.
You know, that's my Yelp review is going to be great for whatever asylum it is that is completely haunted by everyone. So, yeah. No, that was Two Point Hospital. It's fun. It's a nice little city. I say city builder, but it's a management sim type thing, you know.
Yeah.
And that is it on my end for playing any. I believe that is it on my end for playing anything. I don't think I tried anything after that. Wendy, what did you play?
Well, speaking of Animal Crossing, I, you know, today is the Sea Sports Challenge.
Oh, yes. It's their summer fishing tournament on the island.
So, a little, you know, a little Animal Crossing. More Hellblade. I haven't made much progress. But, yeah, that's about it for me.
What's holding you up in Hellblade?
Myself.
Don't you? I mean, I was thinking something in the game, like a certain enemy or a certain pathway that's not blocked or something like that, or something in game.
I get frustrated, and instead of, you know, working through it, I'll just get up and walk away and come back later, or say that I'm going to come back later. I'm stuck, and I need to sit there and really apply myself and focus.
That was Hell. I know I got you signed back in to play Hellblade, and I meant to ask you if you made any progress with it, but by the time I walked back in there, you're watching YouTube, so I didn't know.
Yeah.
What was I doing? I was running Destiny, wasn't I? I think I was doing the Grandmaster Nightfall that afternoon on a Sunday. It's too hot during the day to do anything outside. So you either got to do it in the morning, which, by the way, was up at 6 a.m. walking this morning. It was 68 degrees outside.
Yeah, it's summer.
Well, still, no. No, that's not normally what it is in the morning. It's normally like 73, maybe 75 by like 7 a.m. But this was 68 degrees, 6 a.m. I got out there because I was like, no, I am not letting this go away. Get in there and get walking. So I, you know, did my long walk, came home, and then sat down with Destiny. So I'll do the same thing tomorrow, and then if I got to get out in the yard and do anything, it'll be later, because it's just too hot to do anything. So, which is my excuse, and I'm going to stick to it. Okay. As to why I'm not out there sweating.
Eventually you're going to burn the yard. You know that, right?
Well, yeah, I'd like to set the whole thing on fire and just never worry with it. I'd like to burn down the bushes, the grass.
The grass.
And also, I would like to, what was the other thing? Oh, yeah, just pretty much put down concrete on the whole thing. Oh, we have a guest coming, by the way. Good question.
What you got?
He was asking which way to come to the station, so. Yeah. Friend Dave is in town. He is, when was the last time I saw Dave? Saw him at his wedding, but I wasn't actually at his wedding. It was a Zoom wedding. I guess last Christmas? No. Last Christmas would have been 2020. We didn't do that. It was Christmas before last. It was like 2019, I think, when I saw it, last time I saw him. So, yeah, he just went and saw a movie. He's coming over. He's going to get something to eat for. I could have told him we had pizza. I didn't even think about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're listening, Dave, we got pizza. Yeah, he's at, yes, it is. Okay. Sorry, I'm multitasking. He's asking me if Schlotsky's is still a thing. I said, yeah, it is. And also told him we had pizza. So, anyway, yeah, he's going to be here probably sometime in the next segment. I guess I could stall a little bit, but I don't know how long it's going to take him to get what he's going to get or get here or anything like that. So, we'll just not worry about it. I think that's all. I'm trying to remember if I played anything else. I thought about... I get these little... Oh, yeah. I was going to mention this. So I got a text. It was from Twitter. It was off of that Wario64 that I follow.
Right.
I mean, I just got it before we went on the show. Mm-hmm. Apparently, some used copies of Returnal at GameStop are ringing up for $30.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fantastic, and this means we're going to be stopping by GameStop on the way home to make to see if it works for us. If we can find a used copy of the game, that is, and we may not be able to. But I'm just letting our listeners out there know, or anybody who is listening, that there's a possibility your local GameStop has a used copy of Returnal that is ringing up for $30 instead of, I think, probably, what, $65 is what that would normally come up as? Mm-hmm. It's a $70 game. Usually when you buy it, you know, previously owned, it's like $2 off.
Yeah.
You know, it ain't that much
not
of
big
a,
of a difference.
Ain't
not
that much of a deal. Yeah. So, yeah, that was the report. I'll check that tweet again later on, see if people have responded to say, yeah, it's working here doing this. So, anyway, we're going to take a break. And, well, actually, no. We got Chris. Yeah, let's take Chris. You know what? Let's do that. That'll give Dave time to get his Taco Bell.
What's
hey, Chris.
Going on?
Not much. What's going on with you, man?
RJ, I think I found you another good action role-playing game to play.
What's that?
Scarlet Nexus.
I mean, we looked at that. I mean, it wasn't pulling me in. I mean, I was thinking about Code Vein, but what is it about that that stands out for you?
The storyline is great. From what I've seen so far, it's very futuristic, you know, high technology, kind of like the other one you've been playing, the Cyberpunk. But all the things that are going on, you know, it's, you know, all the powers that are derived from different characters, like, you know, psychokinesis, and some people can set objects on fire and then use electricity and things like that. You know, the power comes from their minds. You know, each person has different abilities, and you can also link your powers to your main character from these different friends that you become friends with, so you can, you know, enhance your abilities and things like that with it and all. And it's just fun to play, and the storyline is even better than the gameplay. But you know, if you like the anime and things like that and all, you know, you can watch some gameplay footage and everything. But they also have an anime series that's based off this game as well too, if you want to check that out and see if you're into it and all. But I'm loving it.
Okay, Scarlet Nexus. I'd have to check it out and see what the deal is in.
We watched some gameplay of that, didn't we? Because I was interested in it, and we watched some gameplay. Yeah. And
I think it was, like I said, I was thinking about Code Vein, but completely different from that, apparently. I mean, is it Can you build your own character? Is it a stock?
You can build your own character. Yeah, you gain levels and you know, gain experience and everything. But yeah, you use every level you get these brain points, but then bite skill points that you unlock different pathways in your brain. You know, you can unlock this and you know enhance your damage on this or be able to equip more plugins. You know, to power up your character and stuff. I mean, yeah, it's
skill tree basically.
Yeah, you have like five different branches that you can power up and use the points towards that and everything, and there's, you know, bonding missions with your friends and stuff and things like that. And but yeah, it's futuristic and it's just dire, you know that the things that are going on in this world, you know, and in the game world are what possibly may go on in the future in our world. It's scary to think about some of the things that, you know, that could happen that are going on in this game. But yeah, it's, you know, the government going out of control, experimenting on people and turning people into monsters and stuff. And yeah, it's freaky, you know. Every time you think you know what's going on, they pull the rug out from underneath your feet, and you know it just goes in a whole other direction, and it just wants you to make you keep wanting to play more and more just to see what the heck's going on.
Mm-hmm. So it's the storyline that pulled you in, right?
Yeah, the storyline and the gameplay. I'd say about 60% of it is from the story.
Okay. We watched it, and I was trying to see if that was something that I'd enjoy, and the more I watched it, the more I said, you know, that I'd like to try it, but I need to wait for Game Pass. I'm not going to go out and just, you know, buy it or something like that. I'd like to wait for it to come up on Game Pass or a demo or just something where you can kind of get an idea of what it was. What I saw didn't necessarily look bad, but there was a lot of aspects to it that don't normally pull me into a game, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The art aesthetic, not necessarily the combat is what kind of looked like, oh, that could actually, that was what was pulling me in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the combat is fun. It's fantastic. I love the combat.
I wanted to try the combat because you get that telekinesis thing and you just start throwing stuff at whatever you've got in your, you know, in the area, the vicinity, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and there's other, you know, there's normal objects that are like on the right trigger, and then there are special items like, you know, heavy duty ones or, you know, overpowered things that you can use on the left trigger, you know, and those usually take a little longer on the gauge to pull off, but you can sort of attack, you know, two or three times and do a combo, and you'll see him pick up an item and he'll slam it back behind his head and then just ram it forward straight at the enemy, and you know, it's fun.
No, it looks, yeah, like I said, the combat was what kind of pulled me in, but the little glimpses of the story, the art, the I don't even know about the skill tree. They didn't really go into what I was looking at. They didn't really go too much into the skill tree on what you could do there. But it was more of a sense like, I really like the combat. I don't know if I can stomach the other stuff, you know, kind of get through all that just to enjoy the combat. So, you know, when it comes around to a cheaper price or a demo or free on Game Pass or PS Plus or some Epic Game Store, maybe, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But when it gets around to something where I can really try it out, then, or maybe I should just go watch some more video of it, watch some streamers instead of watching reviews and just to see what it's like. So, hey, Chris, we got to run, buddy, but thanks for calling, man.
All right. Y'all have a good afternoon.
You too, man. We'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. I'm going to go downstairs real quick and let Dave in. He just got here. So we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we'll talk to him and find out what he's been playing. He actually hasn't been playing much. He was worried about that, but he does play, and we'll find out what he's played. And just talk to him about games. I haven't seen him in over a year, so yeah, it'll be a lot of catch up. May not even talk games. Don't know. It's going to be the fun of it. Anyway, here is music from Monster Hunter Stories 2. It is the main theme for that, and we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this.
a thing?
No.
Okay.
We are not allowed to.
Okay. No.
Rule number one, don't break anybody else's stuff.
Yeah, no.
Air quote stuff.
Yeah, we'll have the black helicopters flying over if we do that.
Okay, yeah, they can hear us now. All right, good. So, nobody heard that, but in the chat, or in, on the stream or in the chat, but whatever. So,
yeah, good to go.
What I was afraid of.
Welcome to ASMR.
Water.
Is there a top for that? Could you put that top on and use a straw, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Just in case. We'll get to Dave in a minute. He's
I knew it was coming.
I'm just going to turn his mic off for a while. We'll just get to Dave when he's done. I got his mic turned off.
How'd you not know that was coming?
I just
it's a universal sound, the straw going into the top. You know that sound was coming.
I don't know. Instinct for me inside of a radio station is to like put it away from the mic and then put it in. And he's just like, nope, pop, slam, good to go. Mm-hmm. Your mic's turned off now, dude. You don't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. You're fine.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. So, yeah, all right. Sorry about the audio issues there. We'll just move on to some news here before we get to what Dave's been doing and what he's playing. We'll just start at the top here and dog meat. I showed Wendy pictures of the dog that was the model for dog meat and Fallout and stuff. Mm-hmm. That dog's name was River, and he finally passed away. Mm-hmm. And there were tons of tributes to dog meat for Fallout and everything else. And in fact, Bethesda and Xbox donated $10,000. Which, come on, Xbox, you can do a little bit. Microsoft, you can do better than that. Bethesda, you can totally do better than that. I mean, Microsoft themselves should have been like 100,000 from a company like them. But yeah, they did donate it in honor of Dog Meat as well. So that was something. We got Games with Gold for this week, or for this month. If you're an Xbox player with gold, you will get Planet Alpha. Also, what, Conquer? Let's see here. What is it?
Conquer?
Yeah, Conquer, Live and Reloaded. CONKER.
Okay, I'm about to say Conquer or Conquer's Bad Fur Day.
Bad Fur Day from N64. But no, it was original Xbox is Conquer, Live and Reloaded. Xbox 360 is Midway Arcade Origins. And you'll also get for Xbox One Planet Alpha and then Rock of Ages 3 Make and Break. That is, if you have gold, you will get those free. Honestly, if you've got Game Pass, I think if you've got Game Pass, you get gold with that or something like that. I don't know. Game Pass is very, very good to have.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you just get a whole library of games to pick from every month. Mm-hmm. Just hundreds. And just, you know, play what you want to play.
They just download and go.
PlayStation Plus games for July. And we actually had somebody on Facebook contact me and ask if we were going to talk about, not necessarily the PlayStation Plus games, but one of those games is A Plague Tale: Innocence, that is free for.
Yeah,
is it for the PlayStation 5? Yeah, Plague Tale: Innocence is for PS5 only. So if you have a PS5 and you have PlayStation Plus, you can get that game.
Mm-hmm.
The other two games are Black Ops 4, Call of Duty, and WWE 2K Battlegrounds is free as well. Dave, did you play that? Just nod, shake? Okay. Dave has not played that. Just spit out one crumb or two for one crumb for yes, two for no. Well, it's Taco Bell, so there's other things you could probably do.
40 bucks on PS4 anyway. So
what is the
Plague Tale: Innocence?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's actually, I think you have to pay, and I need to look at this, but I think you actually have to pay to get, like, you're getting the PlayStation 5, are you getting, no, you're getting a Plague Tale: Innocence. If
I get it on PS5, would I get it on PS4? No, but you said it was PS5 only, right?
Yes, but there is that whole enhancement package, you know how they do the graphical upgrade and everything for games that were on the old systems but are now on the new one?
Right.
Some give you free upgrades, but I want to say that Plague Tale had a payment, like 10 more bucks. You get the new
spiffy version.
Yeah, the shiny, you know.
Yeah, bells and whistles part.
Yeah, the new and shiny instead of the old and busted. So, but yeah, I think you have to pay for that to get that. Anyway, I haven't played a Plague Tale. We watched it. I think we downloaded it on Game Pass. We wanted to give it a shot.
Yeah. Heard about it. It was an interesting story to get into.
It takes place in, what, medieval times, which is just, I sort of like that sort of time period. I'm more into the Victorian era.
Yeah.
But it was, no, you can keep going. Do what you're, if you're trying to be silent, I got your mic off. You can do what you need to do. Mm-hmm. But it was, it looked involved.
Mm-hmm.
But it also looked like that might be something interesting to play. We downloaded it. We should fire it up one day. Give it a shot and play it. Just see what it's like. And now we got the PS5 version, I guess. So, something else that happened was, let me scroll down. Because it was rumored. There it was. I remember reading about the rumor of Ghost of Tsushima. Tsushima.
You had such a good streak.
I know
we
I did.
You had it.
I had read a rumor about a upgraded version of Ghost of Tsushima. But it was all rumored. They saw like a listing on like Amazon France or something, you know, like that, where it's like, what is this? This is new. And then it was only a few days later because Wendy sent me a text about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, it's not official yet. But apparently in the amount of time, literally this was within a day's span and not even that long. It was probably within maybe an hour or 2 hours that the rumor was there. And then they officially announced it afterwards that it's getting the director's cut. It'll be out in August on PS4 and PS5. There's a really strange pricing way it might get confusing on how to dissect this. Full price digital and physical of the director's cut will be $60 on the PlayStation 4 and $70 on the PS5. Owners of the original edition, which would be you, on the PS4, you have the option to upgrade to the director's cut for $20.
I guess.
And you have an option to do it for $30 on the PS5. Those that purchase the PS4 director's cut can upgrade to the PS5 version for $10. So you're paying, regardless of how you're doing it, you're going to be paying. If you want to play that, you're going to have, well, obviously you're going to have to pay. But
pay to play.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, though, how many different copies you own of it or what you own on it. You're going to have to pay, again, to play this. It comes with updated visual. I say updated, but upgraded visuals for the PlayStation 5, that sort of thing. But it also adds a completely new island. So I thought you might be interested in that.
So big DLC, basically.
Yeah.
Director's cut. Just DLC, really. And I've yet to play the multiplayer aspect of that thing. I forgot about that.
Ghost of Tsushima's Director's Cut, as the new edition is formally known, features all the content from the original release alongside a new chapter in Jin's story, which will see him travel to Tsushima's neighboring island of Iki?
Spell it.
I'm guessing that's an I-K-I.
Iki.
Yeah, it's got to be I-K-I. It's got to be Iki. In this new story, Jin travels to the island to investigate rumors of a Mongol presence, but soon he finds himself caught up in events with deeply personal stakes that will force him to relive some traumatic moments from his past.
So I'm guessing this is after the conclusion of the main story?
I guess. I'm reading further. The storyline will add new characters and environments, new horse armor, new enemies to murder, new animals to pet, new minigames, new techniques, new trophies, and more. It'll be available on both that. The director's cut brings a few PS5 exclusive features. All content will, for instance, support haptic feedback and adaptive triggers. I will say the controller on that PS5 is very good for stuff like that. That's great. PS5 players can also expect 3D audio enhancements, drastically improved load times, 4K resolution options, frame rates targeting 60 frames per second, and lip sync for the game's Japanese voiceover.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, you'll actually get the Japanese dialogue that also matches the movement of the speech there. So, anyway, that's it. August 20th is when that's happening. So, And I'm not very far into that game, so I may do the upgrade at some point and just start fresh.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, I wonder if all the stuff you've gathered in the process of the game, because I think I've gotten just about everything I could get in that game. All the headbands, all the shrines, all the scrolls and things like that. I've pretty much gotten mostly everything in that game. So
yeah.
So hope it all carries over. I'm thinking it should, but there's no guarantee of that in some cases.
Well, I'm guessing that even if you upgrade, it just starts you where you left off, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't think it would be like
I left off with almost everything I could get. So.
No, I think it'd be fine. Is that something you'd be interested in, only for the fact that it's got that extra...
From what you're describing, it's a $20 DLC.
That's right. You have the PS4 version, and if you want to upgrade, it's $20.
Yeah.
$20 DLC ain't bad.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's just a DLC, $20.
DLCs normally run around $30.
But it depends on the type of DLC.
It does.
DLC of a character would be around five to seven. I'm sorry, yeah, $4 to $7.
Yeah.
DLC of an entirely new stage, and bonuses would be around $20 to $30, probably. Yeah, $20 to $30.
Yeah.
So far as I'm concerned, it's a DLC story. A new stage, a new chapter in the game.
I thought you might be interested in that.
Yeah, so I would be.
Of course, the other big thing to talk about is the Nintendo Switch and the new version, or I don't know. There's kind of a lot to unpack. I say there's a lot to unpack. There's not actually a lot to unpack with that thing, because it's not near what we thought it was supposed to be. It is essentially a new screen and just a slightly bigger screen. That is practically it. There is no enhancements as far as, you know, there's not, the memory isn't better, the processing isn't better, the graphics aren't better. There's no upgrade to it as far as visuals or the innards of the thing is the same that you'll find in whatever Switch you have now.
Same system, different screen, basically.
Same system, but a completely different screen. That is it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great idea, but it seems
is it too minor of an upgrade to merit that type of thing. Yeah,
or it feels like they're really, really trying to target the handheld play.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way you'd get use out of that screen is handheld. Mm-hmm. Because if once you put it in the dock, it's going up to whatever TV you've got.
You're not thinking about handheld anymore.
So if the screen's an OLED screen on your Switch,
right,
and you're going to put it up on your whatever it is you've got that's not an OLED or not, you know, mm-hmm. whatever it might be, it doesn't matter. You're going to see it whatever your TV is going to put out.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Even if you have I have an OLED screen now and I have a regular Switch in there. So what it outputs is on an OLED screen for us.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go handheld, it's a little bit different. And there is no upgrade. Like when you go from, when it sits in the dock, most games are about 1080p, you know, HD, sort of thing. Certain frame rate, maybe 30, something like that. When you go handheld, it almost always drops everything down to 720. And then either boosts it up to 60 frames per second
mm-hmm.
because it doesn't have that much resolution to output.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a trade-off.
Yeah.
Big screen means you're going to get better resolution, not as many frames. Smaller screen, lower resolution, a lot of frames.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't change with this new version.
Mm-hmm.
It's still going to be the same way. You're just going to see it better because of an OLED screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to put out, you know, 1080p that I know of. It's not going to put out 1080p on the handheld. It might, given that it has the screen to do that with, but I don't think it does.
Mm.
We'll unpack that coming up here in just a bit. Dave, are you ready to, you done? You good? Sorry.
Hey, sorry, everybody. I was trying to make a list so I don't have to stutter or say or.
It doesn't matter.
Think about what I've been
Don't worry. Do you know when you're going to be on the show again?
I have no idea.
Exactly. So don't worry about it.
And trust us when we tell you this, man. We have done so much worse.
But it's just like, what have you been playing?
Mainly me.
Switch. What have you been playing on Switch? Games. Yeah, so.
Yeah, but you.
I've been making a list.
You first off, get closer to the microphone. Or move the microphone closer to you.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
That's better. I mean, I can only go so high on your mic pot there. So, yeah. You good?
Yeah, I think so.
There you go. That's better. What was I going to say? You always hit me up about, hey, are you playing this or are you playing that? And most of the time I'm not, but it's because you've bought it or you're thinking about buying it.
Mm-hmm.
I know you got some games over, I want to say over Christmas. It might have been a couple of Christmases ago and not this past Christmas, but I know you picked up some limited run games.
Yeah, I'm really bad about the physical stuff.
Like bad as in like buying it or bad as in, like,
yeah, let's get this.
Yeah,
let's still do the DLC. When, and some stuff I've purchased and then get the physical version later.
Well,
just to see if I like it.
I've done that plenty of times.
Yeah.
In fact,
it's like a double buy.
You're not defective for doing that or anything. Don't
no,
feel that way.
I just, it's one of those things like you bought this twice, you know?
Yeah. Look, hey, there's some games, I think we've talked about this. There's some games we've double dipped and sometimes triple dipped.
Burnout, yeah. I have done plenty of triple dipping or whatever. I've done a lot of buying Burnout over and over and over again.
There's like one that I'm really excited about that I've placed two orders before I left. One is already closed out, and you'll probably get a laugh out of because you put it on my...
Did I put it on your radar?
No, you put it on my classic NES and then my classic
Super
Nintendo.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
so
I
like
did do
the
that.
Castlevania Anniversary Collection.
Did you get that from Limited Run?
I did.
Did you get the $170-some-odd one?
I got...
Do you not want to say because I know Jamie's listening?
No. And hi to my wife. If she can hear my voice, I love you and miss you. I hope to see you tomorrow.
He totally bought the $174.
No. I bought one that came with a soundtrack and one that came with a reversible poster. I didn't get the Shadow Box or whatever that was.
There was one that came with the Shadow Box, the poster, all that stuff. A steel book of the games itself that had the reverse. Oh, man.
Yeah, I didn't get that one. But I got the one up from whatever the basic was.
Yeah, and I was high on some Castlevania at the time because I was watching that show.
Vampire. Well, I've only watched the first season, so I haven't seen season 2 and 3. Wow. Is that right?
There's four seasons of Castlevania right now.
Oh, yeah, okay. There's four.
Okay. Well, I've only seen the first one.
So we wrapped up. Yeah, we wrapped up, and it's four. That's it. That's a nice story told from season 1 to season 4.
That's all I can stream. I'm just like, that's 2 hours, you know?
That's fine.
Well, like OCD or something.
Make your time, man. You're fine. Don't
but
worry
I was
about
like,
it.
Oh, Kid Vampire. But I think it's the like the Famicom version,
it
not
is,
the,
yeah.
the Game Boy
yeah.
version.
Because it came with
which
all
is
of
weird.
That
it's
stuff.
Like you want the green and black one. You don't want the color one. It's mm-hmm. like, I don't know. It's monochrome. It looks pretty neat.
We talked about that on the show because I was very, very tempted to get that big. And again, when you were talking about double dipping and how you felt about that, let me introduce you to how many times I have bought and bought and bought Back to the Future.
Well, can I plug stuff? I'm getting compensated in no way from Limited Run Games, but right now...
No, you're fine to talk about them. They offer, I mean, they Limited Run, let's tell people, well, we have to take a break. We're at the top of the hour.
Okay.
So, you ate for like 30 minutes. So...
I'm sorry, everyone.
It's like two tacos, but it took him...
I just got out of seeing Black Widow.
Dave has gotten old because he used to eat this stuff very fast. Now he decides to chew his food.
It's because you took the mic off.
That's true, yeah.
All this pressure.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about Limited Run Games. We'll talk about some of our news stories here. It's so great to have Dave in. I'm so glad you could make it. We've got music here from Alex Kidd in Miracle World. Alex Kidd, that was Master System, right?
Sega Master System, yeah.
Yeah.
Back in the day, yeah. Play that over and over again.
So we're going to play this for you, and then when we come back, we've got more of In-Game Chat with Dave coming up. Thank you. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from a game called Curved Space. This track is called Cliffhanger. And I'm really interested in it. So I'll need to go back and look and try and find some video of the game just to see what it's like. And I've done this before. Music will trigger to, you know, ooh, this sounds good. Maybe the game's good. Maybe I should go check that out. Ah, crap. It's just the music. The game's horrible, but the music's good. So, I don't know. Something to look into. Curved Space. Not sure if that came out this week or not. I don't know. I'll have to look it up. Anyway, welcome back to the show. We were going to talk about limited run games. Well, Dave wants to talk about limited run games. I know you've... Is that... I mean... When you buy... How many games have you bought from Limited Run Games?
I think I'm probably up to like somewhere between maybe 7 and 11, maybe.
It's... I mean...
Like it piles up quick though. When you're
yeah.
working like 12 and a half hour shifts.
But there's a reason that they call it Limited Run Games because they only do a limited run of the physical copies. And normally these are of games that do not have physical copies. So they put in the time and the effort and the money to make a physical copy and then give you what you would normally get were you to buy that, the box, the construction, or the instruction booklet and everything else that comes with it. Mm-hmm. It's somewhat built on nostalgia, somewhat built on just physically keeping these games around.
Copy, yeah.
Because it's all digital.
If a game is popular enough, you know, having a digital only, something happens, your drive dies or something like that, or something you don't have a backup, and you know, you want to have a backup for it, they got this pretty pretty little package that you get in there.
Yeah.
I mean, some titles you want to keep up, like I've got a few titles from Limited Run. Streets of Rage 4.
Right.
Right, I did that. Panzer Dragoon Remake. I got a limited run of that. It comes with the soundtrack, so I got that on its way, which is shipping, should be shipping this week, actually.
Okay.
And a couple of ones from of the Shantae series from Way Forward. I got that, as well as, I want to say River City Girls from Limited Run as well. And I think 2 is coming out, so I'm pretty sure they're going to have a 2 coming out from Limited Run, so I'll be on the lookout for that.
Did Limited Run also do the physical copies of Scott Pilgrim?
Yes.
Was that also them? Yeah, I thought so. So, yeah, they do these limited, and again, it says limited run because they don't, they only make ever how many of them. Do you get a numbered copy when you buy these things? Aren't they numbered or no?
Some
are, some aren't, right, yeah.
And there's another one that I follow, Special Reserve Games.
That one I'm not familiar with.
Okay. I think they have like a, like a dog as their mascot or something. It's like a Saint
Bernard. A little
Bernard.
Closer to the microphone.
Sorry. I think they have like a Saint Bernard as their mascot. That's the only reason why it chucks my memory. But no, speaking of those guys, though, and probably Limited Run Games, too, there's a game called Carry On. Have you played
this? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I played it on Game Pass, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I saw a trailer for this, and I was just like, what is this? It's like John Carpenter's The Thing, but you get to be The Thing, and you're red.
We talked about it on the show, and I did enjoy it, but I remember... I think feeling like it got repetitive, got real repetitive, very fast.
Well, it's like super nasty, but like you're, you know, tentacles.
And yeah.
Screaming and you're just like, oh, this is so disgusting.
No, I loved what I played until
like a blob or something. Just go around eating researchers all day.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Until there was this point in the game where I was like, oh no, here's another new place. And I got to go do the same thing that I just did in the last place. And this is getting tiring.
Yeah.
Which is odd again, coming from me. Who sits and plays Destiny every weekend, doing the exact same thing every weekend. So, yeah, that one was... I liked it, and I'm glad it was... I say it was free. I mean, I was paying a subscription for Game Pass, and that's how I got to play it.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I would have bought it if that wasn't the case, because I really, really liked what I saw. I played a little bit of it at... I don't know how many PAXes ago I got to play it. And so I knew kind of like, this is really cool. I can't wait for it to release. And when it finally did, I was glad it was on Game Pass so I could try it out. And I was glad and I enjoyed it. And it took a lot longer than a play session at a convention to get to the point where this is repetitive. It took actually like, I don't know, a couple of days that I was playing it before I realized that, okay, I'm doing the same thing here. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is great. A little repetitive. Probably if they do a sequel, they'll figure something out with that.
Yeah.
But it's good for what it was. Very indie, but very creative. Very,
The concept was unique. I mean,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Very unique concept. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
You're not the researcher trying to stop the monster. You are the monster trying to escape.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
By however means possible.
Kind of reminded me of Explosion Man in that regard.
Oh man,
you're like blown up, you're exploding. I guess
that takes me back.
Exploding scientists.
That takes me back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love Twisted Pixel. Is the name of that studio. They're based out of Austin, Texas.
Oh, by the way, their Curved Space.
Yeah.
Said it was June.
Is it a rhythm game?
June 28th of 2020.
June 28th. Yeah, yeah. I knew it had released. Curved Space. I don't know what this is. It looks like it is it's a shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a shmup? Whoa, that is weird. What is that? That's interesting. Okay. Everybody go watch a trailer of Curved Space. So you can see what that's like. That's interesting.
You're putting it in the chat room now?
I was trying.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. There you go. It's in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
You can take a look at it. For those of you listening on the radio.
You know what?
Or the stream, just mark it down.
Looking at this right now.
Yeah.
It looks like an... Do you remember the arcade game back in the day, Tempest?
Mm-hmm. I remember the name.
Rolling around that structure. It was like flat 2D.
Yeah, I know it was flat 2D. I remember the name. I don't necessarily remember the visuals from the arcade game, but I remember Tempest.
Yeah. This looks like 3D Tempest right now.
I liked what I saw.
Rolling around the flat surface, going around shooting stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I liked what I saw from it, so... what else was on our little news here? We're talking about limited run games, and of course, Dave's got a bunch of stuff coming from them. How long does it normally take from an order to get what you get from them? Because I know...
Months.
I was going to say, is it ready to go when you buy it, or are you buying it, and then they're assessing how many they're going to make off of that, or what's the deal?
I think it kind of depends. So there's one I think I ordered back in February that I just got maybe a week or two ago. Right before I hit the road to drive out here, but it's called To the Moon.
Oh, that's really good.
And yeah, I don't know anything outside of like watching the graphics and seeing the trailer.
Is this the one that looks very top? It's top down 2D or pixel,
kind of like Link to the Past.
Yeah,
but like just super cute. And I was like, okay, there's no aliens. There's nothing blowing up. It just looks like people talking.
That is the first of a 3-part story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there is To the Moon, and then it has another game that has a completely different title, but it is sort of like a spiritual successor. It's made by the same team.
Okay.
And it's got the same sort of, I don't want to say mechanics, but story beats and stuff like that, that it works with it. And then they did a third one now that's come out, and it's, I want to say it's part of 3. It may be part of 4. I don't know. They may do it where they make every game to be some sort of tie-in to that game previous and just kind of keep that thread going.
I think I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Freebird Games?
That may be them. I'm not sure what the name of the
developer. To the Moon is an indie adventure RPG about two doctors traversing through the memories of a dying man to fulfill his last wish.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's a great game. Great game.
Yeah, it just sounded like super sweet. I was like, this sounds nice.
It is.
Like, there might be puzzle stuff, but I was like, it looks cute, like a Zelda or like an old school Super NES kind of RPG.
I think I looked up some stuff on it like one time when I was playing it, because I was stuck and I was like, what do I need to do here? I think. But once I got through it and I played it, and I was really, really, I may have talked about it on the show, but that would go back years when I did play that. Because when did it release? You got it pulled up there?
Like I said, that was Curse Space. I was looking at the sequel here.
Yeah, I can look that up. To the Moon. Because it'll just tell me real quick. It came out in 2011.
Okay.
Yeah, I was looking at the sequel. I think it's Finding Paradise. It's the second full episode of the To the Moon series.
Yeah. So, it'd be interesting to know if any of that's included on what you picked up from Limited Run. Or from, what was the other one? What was the other company you were talking about?
What was it? Special Reserve?
Special Reserve, yeah.
I think.
Sounds like alcohol more than it does.
Yeah, no, right?
Yeah. I think there was another one I picked up from, I went from Nicalis. That's where I got my Ikaruga.
That sounds like a drug.
Yeah. Cialis, The Cialis, same thing. No, that's where I got my physical copy of Ikaruga. for the PS4. Got a special edition with the metal figurine of the ship mm-hmm. in there. So I got that from them.
One? It's kind of monochrome. Like it looks like a maybe no. black, white, and gray kind of.
Well, the black, white is the ship itself. The polarity of the ship determines what bullets you can absorb and which you have to avoid. So it's one of the more difficult shoot 'em ups in there.
Yeah,
that's from the makers of Radiant Silver Gun.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a pretty intense.
They're
game.
Called shmups or bullet hells.
And
I would say Ikaruga would be more of that.
Ikaruga is a bullet hell because you have to. In addition to trying to figure out which bullets to avoid, like sometimes I would play.
I would say R-Type would be your shmup. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this would be your, yeah, just because of, I mean,
mass
I've
hysteria.
Seen
yeah.
some playthroughs of that. It's just yeah. ridiculous.
There were times where there's so many bullets and lasers and enemies on screen, and I forget which polarity my ship is in. And then there's times when there's so much on screen, it doesn't matter what polarity your ship is
yeah,
in. You just
exactly.
have to avoid everything as best as possible. But yeah, the ship is can either be polarity of white or polarity of black. If your polarity matches the color of the bullets, it would absorb the bullets for energy for your homing lasers. But if you take you hit one of the opposite polarities, it's going to blow up the ship. The drawback is if you have the opposite polarity, you can do more damage, but you're more vulnerable. So it's a payoff. It's a switch off.
Yeah, it's risk reward.
Risk reward thing.
Yeah, of course.
That's cool. That's a pretty looking game though.
Yeah, just,
oh, it is.
I remember I was just like
videos of it. It's
and I remember awesome. The PC version. They do have a PC version, I believe, don't they?
They should.
I believe they do because the PC version allowed you for people who had monitors that could do this. You could
yeah.
take your monitor yeah. and do it this way.
Yeah, well, to physically
cool. and you'd
you
see the whole.
Turn your, you had to physically.
I
turn
say
your
this
monitor.
Way on the radio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Horizontal to vertical. You could turn your monitor to vertical, and the screen would do what it needed to do, and then you've got this long. It's a lot like what some of the pinball games that I would play would
yeah.
do instead of. Having my monitor horizontal where the camera's going to follow the ball around, you could flip your monitor sideways or vertical, and it'll put the entire play field
yeah.
right there, and you can sit there and play pinball.
Have yeah. you seen the new Halloween pinball game that's coming?
I did, yeah. I saw that showed up in one of my news feeds. I can't remember the name of the company that makes them, but it's like Spooky House or something.
Stuff that it was like they have them popping out of the hedge.
Oh, no, the hedge thing was really nice.
Like,
that was a
awesome.
Nice touch. Yeah. That was a real nice touch. Do you know what those are going for? Did you look up the prices on those?
Oh, no.
I think you start at $4,000.
Oh, my goodness.
Grand.
Yeah.
And then if you want the whatever big thing, it's like 85, almost 9 grand for that.
Boy.
Pinball is a fun hobby to play. A horrible hobby to spend money on.
It's like I want an arcade machine, but I just want one. I just want like a 1991 WrestleFest, you know? That's all I want.
The thing that you can do both with pinball and with arcade machines is you can, what are they called, MAME?
Yeah. I got a buddy of mine who's got it's a multiplayer cabinet about the size of WrestleFest, it's about the size of the four-player Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game, right?
Nice.
So he put his own system in there. It is strictly for MAME.
Yeah.
And he set it up to where it would play all these different games on there. He's got about hundreds, maybe close to 1,000 by now, but
oh
different games
gosh.
On there that could be hooked up in there. And the buttons and wirings is hooked up to where, you know, main menu button here, where you want to play, select with the stick, hit it on there, and it'll
yeah.
load up, and there you go.
In other words, basically take your Nintendo and your Super Nintendo that I put all that stuff on there, and then just get an arcade cabinet, gut it,
yep.
Hook your two systems up to the monitor screen and whatever else and well no you got to go a little bit further if you want the joysticks to work. There's some
yeah,
stuff
there's some
that have to be done.
I mean, there's like some things like the Dreamcast Naomi. It's basically an arcade board, so
yeah.
that was easy to hook up and set up that way with controls and everything. But
I've thought about doing
do
that for
more finagling with stuff in there.
Yeah, I've thought about doing that for an arcade cabinet and just kind of do it that way
yeah.
and do that. The big project that I've always wanted to do is the
yeah.
pinball.
Mm-hmm.
Where I can, the play field is a television screen.
Mm-hmm.
The back glass is a television screen. The little dot matrix thing that you would see on some pinball machines that have, you know, especially on Adam's Family and stuff, where they'd have the little images of thing and everything else, is also a smaller television screen.
Okay.
And with the right software, you gut it out, you hook everything up to a PC that is inside the machine itself,
yeah.
and with the right software, it displays on the screens what it's supposed to display in regards to that machine.
Mm-hmm.
So, but of course, they have to go through the digitization of those things, which can A lot of the older ones, 80s and 90s tables, have already been done. The mm-hmm. Williams tables and the Midways, the Bally's, those things. Yeah. They've all been done. A lot of your newer tables haven't. So your Lord of the Rings, your Batman 60s show, your Halloween. What else was another one that they did? I think Spider-Man's got a new one now that's also... and a bunch of different bands. AC/DC's got a pinball. Guns N' Roses has one. Aerosmith has one.
Sure, there's a Kiss one, too.
Metallica has one.
That's cool.
Kiss has one. You're exactly right. So, you know, a lot of your newer ones have not been translated, at least to my knowledge. I could be wrong. There could be forums out there where people share this stuff. So,
well, I was going to ask, is there one particular machine you would get if you could have one for the house?
If I could only have one machine... I have thought about this so many times, and I've never settled on anything. I tend to want to go back to my first machine that I ever played, and that was Williams Funhouse.
Okay.
Which a lot of people don't know. Well, actually, a lot of people do know. But Funhouse had this puppet head as the centerpiece. I can't remember his name, but he would tell you, like, oh, the park's closed, you need to leave the park, and then he would go to sleep, and then you'd whack him with a pinball, and he'd open his mouth, swallow, blah, blah, blah. The voice for that little head... This is going back to 1988, 87, I think, maybe.
Okay.
The voice for that little head is Ed Boon when he was just started at Midway.
Nice. Mm.
The guy who created Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
So Funhouse is the first one, but I have played so many others. As you know, from the times working at the movie theater, mm-hmm. we had the Indiana Jones pinball machine. Where we just do you remember?
I remember the like.
Do you remember where we would smack the coin slot of that thing and it would register as a coin went in, and
oh,
so
yeah.
we'd sit there and play in the lobby of the movie theater.
Yeah, I was thinking how beautiful the artwork on those was. Like there's one of like the Twilight Zone.
I know,
and it's
yeah.
like Rod Serling. The door is open, and there's just like all these different gimmicks from the Twilight Zone.
Yeah,
just
you're
like,
in the.
Oh, it's so pretty.
You're in the Golden Age, Silver Age. I don't know what it's called, a pinball, but that was an era. Where you had Twilight Zone, you had Adam's Family, you had Medieval Madness. Not Medieval Madness, Black Knight was another one.
I was once in a bar in Colorado that all they specialized in was pinball machines. But I want to say they had a Judge Dredd one. Might have been from the Stallone movie. But they also had one for like The Shadow. And it was just
did.
Like, oh, that's cool.
Yes.
You know?
Shadow,
maybe not so great, but like the Shadow. Numbers.
I remember when I was going to AUM, they had Johnny Mnemonic in in their whatever that place, the I don't know what it was, where you go get food and whatever. And uh-huh. they had a Johnny Mnemonic table in there that I would always go play too. So.
Oh, your Funhouse, you said it was a clown. It looked like a ventriloquist head.
No, it's a puppet head.
Yeah,
that's what I said. It was a puppet
Rudy.
Head. Yeah, that's what his name was, Rudy.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would want him in there because he talks and it's very annoying. The Getaway is another one, because I played that a ton in, again, the lobby.
Like the Alec Baldwin?
No. It wasn't based on a movie at all. Okay. It was just called it was just called The Getaway.
It's like it's very random for a pinball game.
But it did, what it did have over and over and over, if nobody was playing it, was just about six licks of the opening of LaGrange. And it would just repeat that over and over and over again until somebody put some money in, and then it would get on with the show.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, you're just sitting there listening to that over and over. Not even the voice that comes in, just that guitar riff over and over and over and over and over again. And then the other one would be Taxi.
Nice.
Taxi was a good one. So, I don't know. But I can't tell you what I would pick. Probably something more modern, because there's some really cool-looking ones. There is the Big Lebowski pinball table, which is really good-looking.
That's awesome.
The Wizard of Oz table is amazing, actually. The Lord of the Rings, the Batman 66 that I was talking about.
Uh-huh.
Those, yeah.
It's like, multiple villains in the cabinet.
You'd have to look it up. You'd have to look it up just to see it. Because they show clips of the show on the screen.
Oh,
it's
that's
really,
awesome.
Really nice. And, of course, you've got West and Ward doing their things as far as, like, voice stuff that they pulled directly from that. They didn't get licensing, but they pulled directly from it. I could sit here and talk about pinball all day.
That's cool.
Are you thinking about doing your Silver Ball Sundays back again?
I don't know. Maybe.
Because you had that one when it was like competitive every week, right? You had the highest score at the top, and you were...
Well, they've stopped doing that. They used to do it, but they've stopped doing it. So.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, Tales of Arabian Nights. That's AC Wraith. He's our other pinball fan there.
Yeah.
He wants Ultraman. Tales of Arabian Nights, very good. Yeah. Sorry, went off on a pinball rant there.
No, pinball's fun if you do it, if you play it right now. Yeah. The only one I did was the only one I was had a little bit good at was the South Park table.
That would be cool.
It was I got to the point where I could navigate and hit Kenny and mm-hmm. activate the Kenny mode every time. It was like if you get the ball on the back corner of the left bumper and hit it just the right time, it'll always go right in that spot.
Yeah,
over and
some
over
machines,
again.
Yeah. Some machines had their lanes. I mean, the whole thing where you could consistently just hit whatever it was you were doing, and if it was, you know, if they built the table right, mm-hmm. what you were hitting was really, really good for a score, and you just had to continue to keep that rhythm
like
going.
Yeah, if you hit Kenny like I think it was three to five times, it started this extra mode that kicked off, and I could activate that pretty much anytime I wanted because you found the sweet spot. You find the sweet spot, you hit it every time, and it's right there.
God,
and that could be applied to any pinball game. You get that sweet spot going, you get the right score, maximize everything out.
Mm-hmm. It's sad though because I don't see pinball machines around anymore. Like I could, like I said, the one at AUM's whatever that left after some point. I was still going to AUM and it was gone, and I was like, well, no pinball here anymore. Yeah. A couple of bars and stuff used to have them; they don't have them anymore. There used to be a restaurant that had one in kind of like the little kids' gaming room. It was mm-hmm. a bunch of arcade cabinets and one pinball machine that I would go and play.
Was it one in a CC's Pizza?
It was the barbecue place over here that used to be a Smokies or something. I can't remember. That goes way back.
Oh, was it Stevie B's that had that?
Smokey Bones.
That's what it was, man.
Okay. a bag of Smokey Bones.
Or maybe Stevie B's that had that. I couldn't remember at the time. But it was a big game room, and I can recall they did have a pinball machine in there. But that place is gone now. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's gone now.
I know. Pinball, for the most part, is just gone. I play it digitally more than I do physically.
Yeah. I mean, some places just can't. Don't know how to manage their arcade stuff. Because you remember Hydro Thunder, right?
Yeah.
Remember the sequel H2 Overdrive?
No.
Okay, well, that was a much better version of the game.
I thought it was like Arctic Thunder or whatever was
the
sequel.
Yeah, those Arctic Thunder. Okay, well, H2 Overdrive must have been something else, but it was a very
similar. Because Hydro Thunder was the boats. Arctic Thunder was the snowmobiles.
Snowmobiles, yeah. But H2 Overdrive was pretty much Hydro Thunder again, but it was a much, much better version. And the arcade manager, for whatever reason, moved it to Florida. I mean, it was one of their biggest coin earners in the arcade. And like a week or two afterwards, you just shipped it to Florida. So we don't know what they're doing. Don't know what they got until it's gone. Man, we were a little hot about that.
I know. I've been in the same boat with that sort of just sort of watching him kind of fade away. The only time I do get to play, though, is when I go to Seattle, because I'll go to...
The museum there.
Well, they've got the museum, but he remembers. And
what's
it's,
that place called?
It's not Chuckles. It's
no.
Shorties.
Shorties.
Yeah.
Chuckles.
Well, it's a clown theme. That's why I said Chuckles.
No. That's a good name.
Yeah.
Good, memorable name. You'll remember a place called Chuckles.
Oh, you will, yeah.
If you could ever get out to Colorado, there's a place, because I had friends from California.
Tried to get out there for a wedding, but then, yeah.
Oh, COVID.
I really wanted to come to that, too.
I would really have liked
I really wanted to come to that.
Yeah, for anyone listening at home.
Because I've never been to Colorado.
That's beautiful. You won't want to come back.
Well, I just, you know, I want to see Blucifer from the airport.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Excuse me?
It's a local celebrity.
Lucifer. Oh.
It's that big horse.
I keep.
It's that big blue demonic horse.
Red eyes.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Colorado. Denver. Genius. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Denver International.
Yeah.
So, I wanted to go there because I've never been to Colorado. That was just, you know, that was just something that's like, oh, this will give me a chance to knock that off my list.
That's not the official name of it, is it?
Denver International Airport.
No. It's the Lucifer.
No. Okay. But everybody calls him Blucifer.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Okay, if it's not, it's
Blue Mustang, sculpted by Luis Jimenez.
The devil.
Blue Mustang.
Yeah. I think it killed him, though.
Yeah.
Right?
It did. It killed him.
Blue Mustang, known to locals by the nickname Blucifer, is a cast fiberglass sculpture of a Mustang located at Denver International Airport. Colored bright blue with illuminated glowing red eyes.
Yeah.
It is notable for both its striking appearance and for having killed its creator when a section of it fell on him at his studio.
That's right.
Totally not haunted, though.
Just like the Haunted Hospitals.
On a very supernatural episode of In-Game Chat.
Oh, no. October, we do that.
Yeah,
the entire month of October, I played nothing but music from horror games.
Oh, that's awesome.
Except this past October, we did one show, and then I got COVID.
That's not a good time to get COVID.
And then for the next entire month, we did one show for October. That was it. Aww. This past year. Because
I do Christmas in July. Maybe you can do Halloween in May or something.
Well, it's over with now, so I'll just have to do Halloween in October.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, I was going to say in Fort Collins, almost to the point where you get to, I think, the Wyoming border, it's, is maybe like half an hour from the border. But Fort Collins is like a college town, and they have a bar that's full of pinball machines. So I had friends come from California, and they were, one of them is from Colorado. So they were doing like a tour up and down the...
Yeah, I want to say there's a pinball place in Auburn now.
Oh, that's cool.
Or at least was supposed to open up. It may not have, but I want to say one opened up in Auburn. I think there's another arcade bar up in Huntsville.
Cool.
Maybe. And I definitely know of one or two that are in Georgia somewhere.
Okay.
That are specifically catering to pinball.
Well, I hate that's such a niche thing now.
It is.
I know. It's just dude, man, back in the day. I'm just thinking of going to the Muckery Mall and Aladdin's Castle and stuff.
Take a trip over to Aladdin's Castle now.
Yeah.
When's the last time you were over there, RJ?
Been about 6 to 8 months, but it's still a shell of itself. I mean, last time I went there, it was like two bouncy castles and 8 screens of Fortnite. it just wasn't worth going into, man.
Redemption games or no? Just that they even get...
Because
I remember at one point it just completely turned into a redemption.
Yeah.
Nothing but redemption games. So games that spit out tickets that you go up and turn in.
That was all I was going to do.
Redemption.
I'd like some skee-ball, but you don't need a room full of skee-ball.
Well, it's not all skee-ball. It's skee-ball, and then there's a stupid shoot the hoops thing, give you tickets. Mm-hmm. Then there's plenty of stuff where, the coin tray slides back and forth, and you can get it to knock the coins off, and you get tickets. No, so
I need something with some fighting games and buttons.
Too risque for them.
or
fighting games in general was too much. Too violent for them. So yeah,
I don't know really what made them change everything, but they did. So
I can remember walking in there and they had, I think it was Art of Fighting, where he had two character choices. It's like one dude is named Ryo,
and Robert.
Not right. Yeah, the other. But the screen was probably 6 feet tall, and you're just like, this huge screen, this looks awesome, and I got two characters I can pick from. All the money went into the screen or something,
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I was at a place called GameWorks in Seattle this past year. Not this past year, year, obviously. COVID's like a year where it's it's just weird. 2020 is just a year that doesn't translate. It's like we went from 2019 to 2021. Mm-hmm. So everything I say is last year, but it didn't actually happen last year. The biggest screen in GameWorks, and GameWorks is like restaurant on one side or a bar type place on one side, and then arcade machines and redemption games and pinball and shooting games and all sorts of stuff on the other side. And you can go and play, and then it's kind of a Dave and Buster's, but not. The biggest screen that they have in GameWorks, or at least that they had, was Connect 4.
I love Connect 4, but that's kind of weird.
Well, it's like the one in Round 1 in Georgia then.
Maybe.
Because there was a ginormous-looking Connect 4 in the back corner of that place. It was the only place that had space for it, apparently. It was on the line with that and the DDR machine, the Dance Dance Revolution machines, and the Beat Manias. The biggest Beat Mania I've ever seen was at that Round 1 in Georgia as well. A whole bunch of a fishing game and things like that. Just really, really huge amusement machines out there in that area.
I'm trying that's not what I want to do. I'm
looking up the theme song to Connect 4.
No.
Go for it, red, or go for it, black. You can go for it, Connect 4.
This is what it looks like here. I'll show you.
Oh my lord, that looks like a video game, like one of those 1980s game shows. $10,000 pyramid or something.
Exactly. Yeah. And basically, all it is, you see the right here. These two, so you got your red, you got your blue. All that thing is a drop button. That's where you want to release, because it'll do this up here.
Uh-huh.
And when you're ready, you just hit that button and it drops. And that's it. You just play Connect Four.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. You got your, it also reminds me of those, yeah, you mentioned the $10,000 pyramid. There was a bunch of game show themed machines out there as well. Plinko from Price is Right. You ever play that?
Man.
Yeah.
That was it. Like, if I was homesick and watching Price is Right.
Yeah.
If it didn't have Plinko, I was like, well, this was a bust.
Yeah.
It means I got to go back to school and not get my dose of Plinko. Of course, now I could go to YouTube and watch as much Plinko as I want, but it was something about catching it live. It's like, oh, they did Plinko. It's just for me.
Yeah. Did you ever see the clip of the one guy on the Showcase Showdown where he gives a shout out to Bret Hart?
No.
Who had, like, recently had a heart attack or something. This is, I don't know.
I thought you were going to talk about the guy who guessed the exact amount of the Showcase Showdown. Like, he studied all the prizes. He went on. He had he's what's called a perfect game. He knew the exact prices for every single thing that came up in whatever game he was playing because he spent years studying the prices and how it worked on the game show.
That's cool.
And went through that. Then there was the guy. This was when Drew was hosting, actually, because it's more recent than this.
Mm-hmm.
Dude went nuts with Plinko. I mean, it's complete luck, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But luck was on his side.
I think of Plinko
boom,
now,
boom,
and
boom.
I think of the Red Letter Media skit where they have like the DVD with like the bad movie on it, and they say who's gonna like get the movie that they choose, or what's gonna knock down, and they're like, okay, we've got these three bad movies, now we have to actually watch them, and they review them and talk about them.
Yeah, the only Price Rights clips I like are the ones where people like get so excited they fall, they do face plants coming down to the bottom.
Did they review the dolphin?
Not that I know of, but they got that one. There's one called Spookies that used to play on USA all the time. And apparently, this movie, like, it either didn't have a script or it didn't get finished. So there's a part of it where they went back and shot another part, like, maybe months or years later to, like, bookend it.
Yeah.
So there's a portion of the movie where it's, you know, people getting chased, zombies, whatever. And then there's a part where it's, like, some kind of like a villainous zombie guy and a little boy, like a little monster boy or something. And they're like watching it all or something. But I remember this movie as a kid on USA because they used to have like Saturday Scream Fest or something.
Was it Joe Bob?
No, it wasn't Joe Bob, but it came out on VHS, but it never hit like DVD or Blu-ray or whatever. So Red Letter Media reviews it and they call it Spoopies. Like they've got the rich.
Was Joe Bob on USA rich, or was he TNT?
He was TNT.
Okay.
But when I was a kid, he was on, I think, the movie channel.
Yeah, you're right.
Because I remember we had the movie channel for like one summer. It was like, you know, May to July or something. But Bloodsport came on and it was just like, oh my God. You know, this is like before Mortal Kombat. You're just like, dude, it's a tournament. And like there's, you know, all these different people and fighting styles. And you're just like, holy crap, you're you know, 9 or 10 year old mind is just blown. You're just like, what is this?
We're behind. We didn't take a break. I didn't realize. I should have just. Yeah. Okay. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll finish up here with Dave. It's been great to have you in here. I wish you were here through like the next one so you could come back next week, but you're not. I know you're leaving.
Yeah, we're leaving Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
I'm sorry I was late, everybody. I was watching Black Widow and there were technical difficulties and it started late. So
you're good. It's fine.
But the movie theater.
We'll be back with more of In Game Chat. Here is music from a game called Zero Hour. The name of this track is Initiation. We'll be right back after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from a game called Raft. And it's apparently about building a raft.
Sounds like you're stuck on a raft or something like that.
Maybe.
Middle of nowhere.
This track is called Before the Storm.
What storm? Wait a minute. Storm?
Before the Storm.
Okay. Let's see. Raft is an open-world survival video game developed by Swedish developer Redbeat Interactive. Huh. 9 out of 10 on Steam. Survival games. Oh, yeah. Stuck on a raft, probably.
Not big on survival games.
Survival or survival horror? Nothing like that?
Just survival.
Just survival in the
game.
Okay.
Well, I'm not big on the... and we've talked about this before. I'm not big on the minuscule maintenance of your character.
Micromanaging?
The micromanaging, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Hey, you haven't slept. You better get some sleep, otherwise you're going to get tired. Or, hey, you haven't eaten in a while. You better eat. Hey, you haven't... I don't know. Just
That got to me in Fallout New Vegas.
Oh, okay.
Because it was something I never had to deal with before. I think hardcore mode. I never had to deal with... you got to eat something. You got to sleep. You got to do this. You got to do that before you start having blurred vision and stuff like that.
I was going to mention We Happy Few because I know that that's micromanaging your character with We Happy Few, and I don't like paying attention to that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like just let that be automatic. I don't need to do that. I'm glad that those games exist because there are people who probably really enjoy that style. I have certain genres and styles that I really really love. Puzzles, that sort of thing, are my thing. There are probably people who have puzzles who are like, no. Let me just survive, you know. Let me just stick me on play Ark, where you're just there and you need to figure out how to adapt to the land that you've suddenly been placed on, while there's dinosaurs roaming around and everything else. So, that aspect of it, but yeah, never really pulled me in. You know, we were going to talk about the new Switch, but really we said almost everything that needs to be said about it. A lot of people. We're disappointed that the reveal wasn't an upgraded machine, you know, something that can output 4K, something that, you know, has better load times and stuff like that. And like we said, the thing is basically a new screen. That's all you get.
Yeah.
A new screen, I guess apparently a new color scheme, this black and white color scheme that they have for it. Mm-hmm. But that's it. And it's $350. So I would say if you don't,
what's the standard price of the Switch?
300.
I want to say 300.
300, I believe.
So basically, it's just the limited edition run or something type version or something like that, right?
Yeah, it's
just a cosmetic.
Yeah, really. I mean, it's an OLED screen. That's not bad to have. I don't necessarily know that it's great to have on something so small. In a handheld device,
not worth the $50 jump up in price.
Maybe, and I think the Vita had an OLED screen. I believe the early edition, the early versions of the Vita, or maybe it was the PSP. I can't remember. I think it may have been the Vita that had an OLED. Really, really nice. The screen was just really, really good. Mm-hmm. But this thing from Nintendo, I think everybody expected what they wanted to call it. Everybody expected a Switch Pro, which would have been. You know, a more expensive model, but a 4K thing, better load times, everything upgraded on the inside, a little bit upgrade on the outside, just a revision type of thing, like Switch 2.0 in a situation there.
TFT LCD?
Who is this?
This is the original model of the PSP.
Try the Vita. I'm probably thinking of that rather than I am the other one, but... But yeah, I think everybody were expecting that. The rumors were that's what we're probably going to get, and then they released it, and it was that, and it just, I don't know. Again, you've got to be a...
PS Vita 5-inch five inch OLED.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that was the Vita. Yeah. I still have mine. That music is still going. goodness. I potted that down, but it's still going. The Switch, like I said, to take advantage of that screen, when you play your Switch, handheld, TV, what do you do?
TV.
Mostly? Like you would say 9 times out of 10, TV type thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time I'm playing in the middle of the night. So with my job, I'm 4 weeks in a row of 12-hour day shifts, 4 weeks in a row of 12-hour overnight shifts. So my off days when I'm trying to keep my sleep regulated, I'll sometimes, if I'm not watching stuff on the DVR, I'll play.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's... Then again, man, I mean, I've had radio schedule for 20 some odd years now, and I can remember what I remember what Blockbuster schedule was. I remember what movie theater schedule was. Movie theater schedule was fun. Blockbuster schedule was horrible. Movie theater schedule was a lot of fun, only for the fact that, you know, we just sit there and watch movies at the end of the night.
Yep.
We go across to the Krispy Kreme, trade out some tickets, and come back with like a bunch of donuts and a big jug of milk. Oh, God. Anyway, so, yeah, I don't even know where it was. We're talking about the OLED screen for Nintendo. If you are a handheld gamer, this might be something that appeals to you if you really, really just use it for handheld. Because like we said, once it goes in the dock, you're getting whatever your TV's putting out. And that's it. So it doesn't necessarily matter. It just seems like it's not a step up. It's like they brought up their knee, they brought up their leg to take the next step, and they're just hovering over it. They haven't put it down yet. They're just right there to like move it across, but they just didn't. Yeah, I don't want to say it's half-hearted, but it's just weird that it's not more than that.
Mm-hmm.
I would think you would get that. So that Metroid game, by the way, that everybody saw, Metroid Dread, will be the first game to make use of the new OLED screen. How that works, I have no idea. Maybe because of the bigger, a bigger view, I suppose, bigger screen. Maybe it does. I'm not exactly sure how that takes advantage of a bigger screen. Suppose I should read the article to find out. But I didn't, did I? There's a lot here that we didn't get to, and I do want to get back to it, so we're probably going to use that. We're going to grab a couple of these and put them in the next show. I wanted to talk about the hacking that was going on in Apex Legends, where they had hacked the game to talk about the problems in the developer's other games. So Apex Legends is made by Respawn.
Right.
Respawn made Titanfall. Great game. And then they made Titanfall 2, another great game. And then they made Apex Legends, and you're like, well, what about Titanfall? This is a good Titanfall. Why'd you do that? No, they made Apex Legends. And they kind of let Titanfall sort of sit by the wayside. These guys got really upset about that, hacked into Apex Legends, and put all these things up so that people, or at least the developers or other people, would say, because it was talking about how bad Titanfall was with whatever was going on. Like, pay attention to your other games. Mm-hmm. Stop focusing on just this. And get some support over to your other games. It's really not something that you'd ever see before with hackers. Normally, that's, you know, they would break into it just to troll, as far as troll other players. They weren't. They were trolling the developers to fix their game. They weren't doing anything to other players.
Yeah.
But when other players would go in, they would see all this stuff about how bad Titanfall is. And at least from what I'm understanding in this. But that seems to... That seems to be the case. I don't know if there was any fallout from that or not, but I wanted to talk about that. I wanted to talk about the new Assassin's Creed game that was leaked and then officially revealed afterwards because they couldn't contain any more of the leaks, and people didn't know what they were talking about when they called it Assassin's Creed Infinity. It's supposed to be an open... I don't want to call it a Destiny of Assassin's Creed because I don't want to put it in that way, but an open, always evolving world of Assassin's Creed. In other words, you may not get any more standalone Assassin's Creed games. You'll just get additions to Infinity from here on out, to where they don't have to make up more stories. They don't have to make up news. What, I'm not sure. I've got to look into that. And it's a long way off.
Yeah.
Talking maybe 23, 24 before we get something like that. So, yeah, look into that. And then, of course, we get some Destiny news coming up in August. So, but, yeah, I wanted to get to a couple of those things as well. And we didn't talk about PlayStation buying Housemark. I always want to call them House Marquee, but it's not. It's House Mark. They're the makers of Returnal. And so they purchased that, and they purchased another studio that we didn't get to as well. So basically, this was a chance for Dave to come by because we hadn't been able to see each other since he's been in town. He's been in town since last Sunday, and we weren't able to get together. And I was like, man, if you're going to be there, come by, hang out. At least we can get that at least until... And I guess we'll do stuff when the wife gets in town, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But anyway, thanks for coming by, man.
Yes. Yes.
It is great to see you. You can always call in on the show if you want to, when you go back and stuff like that. But it's really great seeing you. Thank you, RJ. Mm-hmm. Wendy, of course. Appreciate everybody coming by. Appreciate everybody in the chat room. I didn't even do a roll call, but I can do one real quick. 2020 AC Wraith, another TV viewer, A10 Commander Root, Discord for small streamers, Lethal Migraine, Rogue Girl, Steven Van Damme. The Wendigo was in there. She's not in there anymore. She's ready to go. So, thanks everybody for joining us in the chat room. Oh, hi, Jamie. I know you're listening on the stream.
I love you. Drive safe. Don't wreck.
Where is she at in the, where do you think she's at right now?
I think she woke up in Texas, and she actually went to Wichita Falls, Texas to stop by the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, believe it or not. Wow. This is the girl for me. And they were closed. I think they're open by appointment only, but she called them like a month ago and they didn't answer. So,
oh, wow.
Not sure.
Okay.
But I she should be here sometime tomorrow evening probably.
All right. Well, safe travels to Jamie, who's listening. Go to ingamechat.net. You can join us on Twitter. Yeah. Twister. Facebook.
Left Hand Blue.
No. Twister's like the... That's a hard game to play nowadays. You shouldn't be playing Twister nowadays. That's not...
That's a young person's game.
Not just a young person's game, but a consensual young person's game.
And a flexible person's game, too. Not for me.
Yeah. YouTube, we're on YouTube, Steam, we're on Discord. Just follow us on all that stuff. Have a fantastic week, and we will see you next Saturday. Here's music from Days Gone called What Did You Do? Good night.